It's a Kiki with John and McG. Gonna spill all the tea. All my LGBTs, you're in luck. 'Cause Johnny McGovern is gay as fuck.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the premiere episode of Gay AF. I am Johnny McGovern, he who is. Now, some of you might know me as the host of Hey Queen or Go-Go for the Gold or from my Gay Pimp music videos or from my OG podcast, Gay Pimpin' with Johnny McGovern.
Are you feeling really faggoty?
But here on Gay as Fuck, I am back to have some fun and to spill the tea with you. In this show, we're mashing up my two favorite things, which is pop culture and gay stuff. Two great tastes that go great together. It turns out that it was a perfect week to start this show because there is a lot of gay stuff in the world of Hot Topics. So, baby, let's get into it.
Get into it.
All right, everyone, are you ready for some DL? Anal sex by celebrities in their dressing room. Yeah. I know I am. I'm sure most of you have seen the little clip that has been going around. Will Smith's former assistant, Brother Bilal, has come out and said that he walked in on Will Smith getting fucked by actor Dwayne Martin. If you haven't heard it, let's take a listen.
So I'm running all over the studio. He's not in his dressing room. I go to the cafeteria. I'm like, but I see his car there. I'm like, where is this guy at? So now I'm holding Dwayne down too. So I have the keys to his dressing room. So I'm like, yo, and they're calling I'm on walkie talkie and they're calling my cell phone. Yo, we need to get Will here. And I'm like, yo, kind of fucked down. Like I'm trying to find his, like, this is unlike him, right? So, all right, I open the door to Dwayne's dressing room, and that's when I see Dwayne and having anal sex with Will.
Let me process that for a second. Who was on top?
It wasn't a top. There was a couch, and Will was bent over on the couch, and Dwayne was standing up, killing him. Murder. It was murder in there. I've never seen it. I don't watch gay porn. You know, I never seen a man fucking another man.
But Will Smith was bent over.
And Dwayne was killing him. Murder. It was murder in there.
It was murder in there. It was murder. I cannot. That's what really, honey, that is what sent me. It was murder. It was a murder scene. I'm going to need to save that audio and use it anytime it's appropriate. It was murder. It was murder in there.
Murder. Like, murder. It was murder in there.
Now, most importantly, Tasha K asked this important question.
Condom?
I don't know. I don't.
You didn't look that close.
Listen, even when I was with the Darren Hair lights, and I finally said, oh, shit. And they turned around and said, close the fucking door, right? So I back out the door. I'm not going in there. Fuck no. I ain't going up in there.
Will Smith is getting loads. Got to take that load, Will. But honey, now that is quite scandalous. Not that it's anything anyone in the know or in the homosexual know hasn't heard before. I mean, we've heard rumors of Will Smith and Dwayne Martin being lovers for years. There was lots of weird things going on, like Will Smith bought him and owned his house. Will Smith bought him and owned his business. Will Smith got him out of bankruptcy, et cetera, et cetera. Now, look, you could say that's just they're just good friends. And that's exactly what they did say. But Will Smith's former assistant, who, honey, has a grudge and he is ready to spill it all. Now, Brother Bilal spilled a lot more than what you heard in that little clip because there is an extended hour and 56 minute version of this interview where he goes into all sorts of pretty wild claims about Will, Jada, Benny Medina, Mark Anthony is in there, and yes, J-Lo. After the what was in the clips is where things get real wild, because Brother Bilal is selling a book, that expose on Will and Jada, that is called Will Smith, The Demonic Circle. Okay, so that gives us a lot of ideas of the amount of conspiracy theory, dark Illuminati style, Scientology references, grooming, I mean, all sorts of shit. And you can hear that especially in this clip that goes on right after the clip everybody else heard was. And this is where it gets a little freaky deakier and darker and twisted and spooky, actually.
Will says, I got to talk to you. So I said, about what? He said, you know what? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, oh, you know what I'm talking. I said, well, I have no idea. What are you talking about? What we need to finish today? Like, I'm trying to get that out. So he said, no, we need to talk. So he said, listen, I made a call. Some papers are going to come here today. I need you to sign them. And I said, why am I signing papers? And he said, listen, I'm trying to protect you. He said that you remember the transsexual, I hope I'm saying it right, who got caught with Eddie Murphy. He said, you know what happened to him, right? I had no idea what happened to the transsexual that got caught in the car with Eddie Murphy.
Me either. What happened?
So I go home and Google it. They murdered him. Or the transsexual. I don't know to say him or her. I don't know what's politically correct. So I hope I'm not offending anyone. The transgender that was caught in the car with Eddie Murphy, where Eddie Murphy paid this guy to have oral sex, or the transgender to have oral sex, was about to start doing interviews. And back then, they paid, you know, the internet wasn't big. They paid you gobs of money to do interviews. Mm-hmm. And they said that the transgender person locked herself out the house, tied some sheets together from a roof, and tried to swing into the apartment from the roof. This is documented. Do you know anybody that get locked out the house that's going to tie some sheets together and swing into the to their apartment from the roof?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right.
You just break a window.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I want people to Google that. So this is what he told me. I go home and I'm on AOL. Plug-in. Not high-speed internet at this time. And I was like, oh, shit. They murdered this person. Right?
Baby. Now, when I first saw the clip of this interview, I thought Brother Bilal might have been a sister of the cloth, if you know what I mean. But it turns out he is a straight Muslim man, and therefore his reactions to Will Smith were informed by that. Now, he does try to make himself out to be not homophobic in this interview, though the whole interview does teem with a little bit of homophobia, let's be real. But he does make some interesting claims. One being that when he first was hanging out with Will on the set of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he saw him getting cozy with Benny Medina and they were kissing on the lips and being very affectionate. And that was just a prelude to what was supposed to come next. He talks about how Will's first marriage was broken up or put on shaky ground with his marriage with Sheree, who was on not Housewives of Atlanta Sheree, but the Sheree that was on the last season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Supposedly, Sheree caught Will Smith in bed with Benny Medina. And then he gets into the story about catching them on the set of the 2000 sitcom All of Us, which Will Smith was an executive producer of. And supposedly, at this time, Bilal was Will Smith's assistant, and this is when Will Smith was huge and making all the big action movies and doing all the stuff. And one day he told him that he wanted him to go work for Dwayne Martin and take care of him the way you take care of me. So he got punted over to the set of All of Us, where he was taking care of Dwayne Martin and giving him all the perks that he had become used to as Will Smith's lover, allegedly. And that is where the murder scene took place. Now, Brother Bilal really hates Jada is one of the one things you can get from this interview. Says she's controlling, she's evil, she's horrible, she's nasty, and she's a Scientologist. She tried to get him to go to the Celebrity Center many times, and he says, I Googled it and I found out that's a Scientology center. Other sort of scandalous and pretty out there things that he says is that Will and Jada were trying to get Diddy and J-Lo into an erotic entanglement. Waiting for tonight. Unsuccessfully, I guess. Basically saying that Jada fully controls Will, was always controlling Will, and she has the power over him for two reasons. One, because she knows about his gay shit and they would have three ways with men and multiple sex parties with men. And so she knows his tea. And the other thing is that Jada was having an affair with Mark Anthony and that she brought him back to their house and was fucking him on the couch and Will caught them. And then things get really dark.
When I hear her talk to him like that, I can understand. Because sometimes you can beat a person so much that they fall into submission. And that is where Will is at, you know? And, you know, she would say things like, yeah, I'm going to put that strap on. I'm going to put my Tim boots, my baseball cap and strap on and teach you a lesson. And I'm just like, yo, I'm serious. When they did Hawthorne, Jada started fucking with Mark Anthony, who is J-Lo's husband, right? And they did a TV show called Hawthorne. The final straw is when Will came home and caught Jada fucking Mark Anthony on the couch at their home. Will lost it and beat the shit out of Jada. I mean, beat the dog shit out of her. That so bad that they had to make a makeshift hospital in their home so that it couldn't get out to the public. So that pain of Will seeing Jada fucking Mark Anthony on their couch in their home, right? Because he know they were already fucking on the set. This is fact. He just couldn't take it and he whipped her ass so much that she had to get face surgery and everything. If you look at her face, you could see where she had surgery around her cheeks and all that stuff.
Wow. Brother Bilal is trying to sell this book, Will Smith, The Demonic Circle. And each page, each chapter supposedly has a URL that you can scan and will go to a website which will have all the proof on there. The rift seems to be about a gig that he was doing, because I guess after he was Will's assistant, he was doing celebrity branding opportunities, and they had asked him to put together this gift bag with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of merch for some big party, and then last minute told him to fuck off, and then he lost money and business from that, and he has never recovered, and he is motherfucking pissed. And you know Brother Bilal is very angry because, of course, he threw in this little tidbit that Jada was used to big dicks and Will Smith could not live up to it. And he kept notice the amount of times he says baby leg, and then sometimes he says baby toe. I know he's being serious, but every time he says baby leg, I can't help but smile and laugh.
If a woman is used to something the size of a baby leg and you come in with a pinky toe, she not going to be satisfied.
So you're saying Will do got a small dick?
I don't know what I'm just saying. You know, I am saying to you, if a woman is used to something the size of a baby leg and you come in with a pinky toe, there's nothing you can do to please her. You can buy her 80 cars. You can get her 80 private jets. If she's itching for that baby toe, I mean, if she's itching for that baby leg, she want that baby leg.
Of course, after this, the clip came out. Will Smith, Jada, everyone involved except Dwayne Martin, who has remained very quiet and I'm sure in motherfucking hiding. Their publicists all, you know, roundly denies the accusations, because what else are they going to do? Be like, yeah, look, I took a couple loads back in the 90s from Dwayne Martin. What can I say? Hey, guys, no worries. You can check out Unwind with Tasha K if you also want to pay the $12 like I did and get the entire interview. We'll just have to see how this story will develop or whether Brother Bilal will just disappear. I wonder what is his, I mean, he obviously knows he's going to get sued. He just wants it out there. I don't know. I mean, these are some wild motherfucking claims. You know what I mean? And starts to tie it all into very dark velvet mafia style Hollywood powers and orgies and evil. I don't know. I would not be surprised if Will Smith was taking that load, but what do I know? I've never met Will Smith. Well, there's only one thing to do. Hit it. Getting murdered with it. Very interesting. Look, it's of homosexual interest. Do I believe it? Who knows? But is it interesting? Yes, it is. All right, well, in other Hollywood couple news, Kim Kardashian's hairstylist Chris Appleton filed for divorce from White Lotus's Lucas Gage. Now, 1 week after their wedding episode aired on The Kardashians. Now, I don't want to be too negative, but honey, I saw this coming. I mean, Chris Appleton is Kim's hairstylist, and he seems to be a wizard of hair. He's very handsome, with a great body and a big jaw. And he got together with Lucas Gage, who you remember got his ass eaten in the original season of White Lotus. And he's been in a bunch of other things since then, including that movie Down Low with Zachary Quinto, where he plays like a chatty prostitute. I did not enjoy that movie, by the way. And they've filed for divorce after just 6 months of marriage. This is brutal, I'm sure, for them, because the wedding episode only aired a week ago. And apparently, Chris, who filed, waited until the episode was out to do so. Now, look, I could have told you this wasn't going to work out. Mostly because these motherfuckers were so public from the jump. I know if you're a gay celebrity and you are dating another gorgeous gay celebrity, you think it is great and you want to tell the world about our love, our perfect body, beautiful love, our golden highlighted hair love, our vacation in Tulum love. But sweetie, that's not a good idea. Because the minute you come out, the time ticks away till everybody wonders, when are they going to get divorced? And that was the first thing that I thought. Now, this was a come up for Lucas Gage. He definitely was getting more press than he'd ever gotten before for dating Chris Appleton. And they came out publicly, I believe, at like Us Magazine's Hot Young Hollywood Party, a perfect place to declare your love. Chris Appleton was talking about it on the Drew Barrymore Show. And they had a whirlwind romance. And I feel a whirlwind romance is always spells doom. Because once you start talking about the love, it's just like, oh, God, it's just, I can be like, you're so public about this now. What are you going to do when you break up in 1 year and 6 months? And it was less than that. Another kiss of death is that Kim Kardashian officiated your wedding on an episode of The Kardashians. That's not a great idea. It just bodes doom. Kim Kardashian has not had a lot of luck when it comes to men. And she had her luck rub off on them, too. Now, I wanted to like this couple. But after they got married in matching fuzzy Dolce & Gabbana fur coats and leather pants, which was totes tragique and totes terrible, I just shook my head. I mean, ugh, awful. And it didn't surprise me. People with that terrible taste are bound to get a divorce. Now, apparently, Lucas was the one who broke it off, even though Chris was the one who filed first. Supposedly, Chris was controlling and possessive, and he thought he was the most important person on earth, the insider told the Daily Mail. That same source said the couple played together. Here's what we all really wanted to know. Said the couple played together, but suggested that their open relationship could have created a rift between them. They also claim that Chris filed first to save face and conveniently waited until after the wedding episode aired on the Kardashians. Everyone thinks it's so shady, and it is. Now, some other sources say there wasn't an open relationship and Chris never cheated on Lucas. The timing of the filing is irrelevant to the episode. There was just no choice but to file when he did. There was a side to Lucas, the source says, that Chris did not see prior to the marriage, and this being Chris's first marriage, he went in with a lot of love. Maybe what happened is they actually got to know each other after they got married and realized, oh, fuck, I've made a huge mistake. After all of the sexy wears off, after they peel off their horrible, fuzzy Dolce & Gabbana fur coats. I mean, first of all, why are they wearing Dolce & Gabbana as gay guys? Dolce & Gabbana literally don't believe that gay guys should be able to adopt children, okay? None of your favorite stars should be wearing Dolce & Gabbana, baby. All right. And I was a fan of Dolce & Gabbana and their work for many years. But I just have to say no after I heard that kind of shit about them. Two gay guys who think that gay guys shouldn't be able to adopt children. That alone is a reason to get divorced, that you wore them at your wedding. But I mean, after they peel off their fuzzy jackets and leather pants and make love a million times, and they realize another person's fucking annoying, that Chris Appleton's probably on call for every diva in the business every minute, and Lucas is trying to make a come up, and now he's stuck at home while Chris is traveling across the world. Who knows? We don't know. I'm sure more details will come about. TikTok lost his motherfucking mind last week when Timothée Chalamet was on Saturday Night Live. Every clip of the damn show is everywhere. But the one of most homosexual interest was the sketch where he played Troy Sivan and did the dance moves from Get Me Started. Now, you can be sure all of Troy Sivan's lady fans from years and years lost their motherfucking mind when that happened. And I'm sure Troy Sivan lost his motherfucking mind as well. Most interesting thing to me is that this is a rare coming together of the two men who are the front runners in the race to find out who will become the forever twink. They're both 27. They both seem eternally youthful as of this moment, but the real battle will begin over the next 13 years because only time will tell which will remain the forever twink. Now, I think Troy's probably got this in the bag, honey. Why? Because he's gay. I mean, we have the true secret to youth. And you know what it is? Jizz. I am really loving Troy Sivan and his new album. I enjoyed Troy Sivan peripherally in the past. I was aware of his song Bloom, which is about bottoming, which I thought was a great, bold song. I love a gay song about gay shit. But it wasn't until this new album when I just was like, honey, you are stepping it up with the dancing, with the videos. I mean, he was going from being just a singer to like a real pop star. And I love that. I mean, I feel a little rush. I mean, Get Me Started, The Rush, and then him gagging the internet by pulling off some very stunning drag looks in his video, One of Your Girls, which is a song about him sleeping with questioning guys, saying it started with this guy who had previously not been with guys before. He wanted to experiment. He wanted to explore, and that he could potentially be interested in doing that with me. And I was like, work. Basically, I ended up saying to him, well, let me know if you're feeling gay on Saturday night. And he was. And we can be sure that in that encounter, Troy Sivan was not a top.
Murder. It was murder in there.
Troy Sivan also had some major good casting in that One of Your Girls video because the main co-star is Ross Lynch, who is what? Yes, he is. Oh, my goodness. Now, Ross Lynch, I was not aware of Ross Lynch previously to him going on tour with his band, The Driver Experience, and performing shirtless, which was all over TikTok. But baby, I'm a fan now. Yes, I am. Now, it's good that Troy had some a great week because he also had something shady as fuck happen to him, which was he made a terrible, terrible mistake. And he complimented Azealia Banks in a way that she did not approve of. In an interview with Spotify, they said, "What's your go-to pregame banger?" And he said, "Probably 212 by Azealia Banks." And honey, Azealia Banks took to her Instagram stories. And you know when that happens, nothing good happens. She said, "This is these white kids' weird way of apologizing for bandwagoning, having no clue of the kind of shit happening to me behind the scenes in the industry. I'm not impressed by any of these people who I've never met in person nor had a conversation with me, not having the audacity to be as public and loud with their apology as they were with using their platforms to cast judgment as if singular me was an important social justice issue. I would really appreciate all these fucking civilian ass bitches to stop mentioning me. Stop dancing to my shit in the club if you're not going to treat me like a human and take back all the unfounded bullshit you used your platforms to perpetuate. And you're a late, condescending, expired twink anyway, bitch. We've been past 212. Give it up. Puberty hit that ass and made you a doofy-looking young man. Ooh, baby, you do not want to get on the wrong side of Azealia Banks. Now, I think this has to do with, or at least according to Azealia Banks News, the greatest source for what's going on with Azealia Banks. I believe that what pissed off Azealia Banks was an interview from a few years ago where Troy said he wanted to collaborate with Azealia, but had conflicting feelings about her. I mean, I was a huge Azealia Banks fan, but all that went south a little bit. It's just one of those annoying things where you want to support her so bad, but it just doesn't work out like that. If you are not familiar, Azealia Banks' Instagram story voice notes with a black screen and or text are legendary, are shady as fuck, and are endlessly entertaining, whether I agree with them or not. She gave some shade recently to Doja Cat and her new album.
"This last Doja Cat project was not done correctly. No, you guys were not supposed to give Doja Lamar. Like, if you guys are going for that, like, cyber, weird, like, Y2K, kind of like Dennis Rodman, Downtown, Julie Brown. Like, I get the references. You know, the sampling pieces should have been, like, Mirage by Underground Resistance. It should have been, like, Sea Snake by Drexia. Like, it should have been LFO. Like, it should have been, like... Like, nah, that's where it was supposed to go. It was not supposed to go into, like, you know, kind of like token white boy with the, like, waiting outside Supreme circa 2006, like, cringe attempt at, like, conscious rap. I don't know what that was."
And even shockingly, last summer, threw shade at the queen herself, Beyonce, which is very brave because we know the Beehive ain't fucking playing around. But apparently Azealia Banks is not afraid of a fight with anybody. Now, the whole thing with Beyonce came about because there was a story where someone, an anonymous source in Metro UK magazine, claimed that Beyonce used Azealia's music as well as others to brainstorm for her upcoming records. And the quote was, "She loves the fact that so many black writers and DJs are thriving in the dance scene over there and was paying attention to songs by people like Mr. Jam, David Asante, Minerk, Camille, and early Azealia Banks while brainstorming," the insider told the publication.
"Beyonce has been trying to write me out of my own narrative for like years at this point. Like, this is so fucking weird. So early Azealia Banks... Okay, so what are you trying to do? Are you trying to encapsulate my music in time and say, like, you know, like it's vintage or something, as if I'm not, as if my last three releases have not whipped your ass? Like, are you kidding? As if I'm not showing like major versatility and all of that? Like, You want me to not be Yamaya so fucking badly. Like, you want it to be Solange. You want it to be, like, Chloe Bailey. Like, you have a Little Mermaid movie, and you don't include Azealia Banks. Like, oh, my fucking God. You are, like, you're so sneaky. You're trying to erase my contributions to, like, house music, dance music, electronic music. No.
I don't agree with that, but I do enjoy Azealia Banks, and I do love Azealia Banks' music. I guess this means that the collab that we're all dreaming of between Beyonce and Azealia Banks is not going to happen, which is a shame because, honey, this has been going around TikTok lately, and it has been driving me up the wall. Damn, it's good.
I'm ripping the runway, serving the runway, eating the runway, pumping the runway. You walk the wrong way, falling the runway, never the black cat meow. I pussy the runway, trip down the runway, duty the runway, queen of the runway. Legend the runway, I strut my hips then bounce. I'm ripping the runway, serving the runway, eating the runway, pumping the runway. You walk the wrong way, falling the runway, never the black cat meow. I pussy the runway, trip down the runway, duty the runway, queen of the runway. Legend the runway, I strut my hips then bounce. I make the rules, thus I rule the world.
Now, I've never been a real big fan of Naked and Afraid, though, you know, it has naked in the title, so I have checked it out. Always looking for a hot person, never finding it. And I was unaware of the fact that Naked and Afraid has so many spinoffs until they started showing the Naked and Afraid content from Discovery Plus on Max. And then I realized, oh my God, they have Naked and Afraid Alone, Naked and Afraid Survivors, Naked and Afraid Castaways. They have like so many different versions of Naked and Afraid. And finally, there's a version of Naked and Afraid that I can get into, which is Naked and Afraid of Love. Now, this has been out for a while, but I have just discovered this. And it's everything you want from Naked and Afraid, but with hot people. Because normally, you know, you're Naked and Afraid, you know, the people are usually in shape, but, you know, they're out in the desert. They're out in the jungle. They're hot. They're getting bug bit. They're not. They're starving. It's not really like sexy. Well, the people who make Naked and Afraid said, what if we did Naked and Afraid, but it wasn't so bad and it was full of sexy people? And let me tell you, there's a lot to look at. Okay, the first episode, they know what we want. They know what we want because the episode one is called The Accidental Erection. Does that have my attention? Yes, it does. People show up in pairs and their time surviving together are sort of like considered dates. And then they all get together and they're dating and surviving and trying to find love. Now, did I make it all the way through all the episodes? No. But did I fast forward to look at some of the sweet asses, muscles, and bodies on this show? Yes, I did. Is this show have a lot of parts in the beginning where the guys are looking at each other's dicks and being either impressed or unimpressed? Yes, it does. Is there gay stuff? There's lady gay stuff. So girls, this is for you. But I would like to see a fully, I mean, can you imagine Naked and Afraid of Gay Love? Now that would be good. There would be no competition. They'd just all be fucking on the beach. It would just be like, well, you know what it would be like.
Murder. It was murder in there.
The youth of today have it so easy. You can just turn on Discovery Plus and see perfect naked asses as far as the eye can see. I want to let you know that when I was in high school, I would have to rent a movie that I had read in the book that I had, which was a book I shoplifted from Walden Books, which was the guide to all male nudity in the movies. And I would find whatever movies had butt or penis in them, and then I would rent them from the video store, and then I would watch them, and when it got to the butt, I would freeze frame it and make it go forward slow so I could quickly pleasure myself to the vision of the butt going across the screen. Honey, now all you got to do is just go on your cable and watch Naked and Afraid of Love, and it's butts, asses, dicks. Well, the dicks are blurred, but it's out there. I mean, I guess there was no internet then either, so we had it rough, okay? Y'all have it easy now. But if you're looking for perfect asses while people try to survive, Naked and Afraid of Love is for you. Now, let's have some feel-good news, shall we? So much negativity, breakups, Hollywood scandals, all the rest. There was an unexpectedly heartwarming interview with Marlon Wayans, not somebody that I normally look for heartwarming or even non-homophobia. But, honey, I guess I was wrong. Because he gave an interview on the radio and was talking about his child who is transitioning. And you know what? I just got to say that this was great. This was great for people to hear, especially parents who are dealing with children who are identifying as trans or whatever else they might be identifying as and are going through those changes, to hearing someone like Marlon Wayans, who's been in the public eye and public consciousness for such a long time, to be able to show them how one should react to that going down. And let's listen.
I have a daughter that transitioned into a son. My daughter Amai is now Kai.
Truthful.
And so so I talk about the transition, mm-hmm. not her transition, their transition, but my transition as a parent going from ignorance and denial to complete unconditional love and acceptance. Gotcha. And I think there's a lot of parents out there that need to have that message. And I know I'm dealing with it. It was a very painful situation for me, mm-hmm. but man, it's one of the best, funniest hours I probably could ever imagine.
I can't see your child come up to you and asking you, because you joke too much. So I can see a child say, Dad, I'm thinking of transitioning. And I could just see you take nothing serious.
I always joke. They know. I told my daughter, I said, nigga, you transitioning to your brother. You look just like him. See? I can't tell the difference between her and Sean. Like, I swear to God. 23 and 21. Oh, so but I got to respect their wishes, right? And that takes, as a parent, I just want my kids to be free. I want them to be free in spirit, free in thought, free to be themselves. The more you know yourself, the more you can govern yourself, the more you live your truth, the happier your existence. So if they can't get that in the household with their father and their mother, how the fuck do I send them out into the world mm-hmm. to with that kind of confidence?
Right.
And I'm just so proud of them for being them.
Way to go, Marlon Wayans. Props to ya, mama. The Jonas Brothers are on tour and they're wearing leather pants and sleeveless shirts, and they are driving their fans wild as well as doing things they know will get a reaction. There is a clip on Twitter of Nick Jonas in these leather pants singing to the audience. And at one point, he grabs the crotch of the leather pants and pulls them up real tight while he's singing to make his bulge do what it do. Now, this was on TikTok a zillion times, and all of the captions were like, he knows what he's doing. And he is. I mean, I appreciate a good gay baitation. I really don't mind it. So many people are mad about gay baiting, or at least were in the past, being like, don't support these creators who are gay baiting. But honey, we've been wanting to see straight guys' dicks and bulges and all this for years, and now we have it served up to us on a platter. No one is forcing you to pay for any of these artists' stuff. I mean, when Nick Jonas first came out and was going to gay bars and taking his shirt off, people were like, ugh, gay baiting. I mean, what's wrong with playing to the gays, giving us a little thirst quenching moment for us to enjoy? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And some of these new OnlyFans gay baiters have really taken it to another level. I mean, TikTok is littered with some high caliber gay baitation, with all of these guys making these TikToks over and over again where they're acting kind of gay, but we know that they're not. And it's really only if you get fooled that you get mad about it. For example, there's a guy who is been around on the OnlyFans world for a while, very handsome, perfect body, seemingly big dick, though he was accused often of sticking a dildo in his pants. His name is Wyatt Cushman. Okay. So you've seen his Instagram reels and his TikToks everywhere. The ones that are going around right now are him standing somewhere shirtless, giving you full sort of hard dick in the basketball shorts. And whoever's running the camera comes up to him and says,
"Yo, bro, do that thing."
"I got you."
"Nah, come on. You know what I'm talking about. Do that thing."
"Oh, that thing?"
"Oh, just like that."
"You like that?"
"Wow. These things are kind of heavy."
"No, they're not bad."
You know which ones I mean. Now, look, if you were then to go and join his OnlyFans for $13.99, thinking that you're going to see actual sex with him and another man, you'll be surely disappointed because you're never going to get that. Though I believe I have come across some clips where he seems to be pretending to have gay sex. The kind of sex in the shower where you never see a dick go in the ass, but there is a lot of humping going on. Regardless, let's talk tips for how to not get scammed by scammers on OnlyFans and just to be able to enjoy it for what it is. Now, the key is when you see one of these TikToks that is almost too good to be true, because the guy looks hot, they seem to be doing super gay stuff, they're doing the most, there's usually someone filming them and they're walking around being like, "Nude beach, gotta go there, bro." And they pull their pants down a little bit. You've seen these. But the key is to, before you join their site for $13.99 and get disappointed because these guys are not going to be doing what you want on their feed, and anything that you do possibly want is going to only be sold to you in the DMs. The key is to, when you find an OnlyFanser that you like, you've got to check LPSG to see what the queens on there are saying about their content, because they will give you the tea on whether their OnlyFans is worth it or it is not. What is LPSG? It is a message board, a website. It has lots of other topics, but the reason that I mostly use it is to find out what is going on someone's OnlyFans and whether it is worth the money. LPSG stands for Large Penis Support Group. Interesting. Now, there's probably some controversy there because at times people have just basically tried to jack all of the content from someone's OnlyFans and put it up there for free, which isn't cool to do, but they also will judge, and they will judge harshly, and they will let you know whether someone is, if you join, someone is going to be giving you what you want, or whether their feed is merely bulge pics like you see on Instagram, and then they try to sell you fake gay sex stuff in the DMs, or even just JO videos in the DMs for $25 to $75. There's a lot of different levels of people doing things on OnlyFans. There's sort of like the solo dreamboat, okay? Like Jakey PZ, Jake Andridge, who is a TikTok king. I mean, this motherfucker has millions of followers on TikTok. He's on TikTok for alive forever. He's making all sorts of cutie pie TikToks that follow the TikTok sort of wholesome rules, but he's using it all as a way to get people to his OnlyFans. And once you get there, you do get to see him naked, because if you've never seen Jake Andridge, honey, I mean, it's something. He's Canadian, number one, a beautiful thing. He's got a perfect body, like a cartoon type of body, wide shoulders, tiny waist, big ass, huge dick, thick thighs, facial beauty. Now, he's got it good because he, unlike so many of the other ones, because he works so hard on TikTok, I think is able to just continually get new followers, even though all you get really on his feed is nudes, and then he'll sell you him jerking off in the DMs, which is actually pretty entertaining. But if you're expecting to see him like fuck someone, you're not going to see it. He's probably got the most foolproof way to go about being an OnlyFanser without having to turn gay. Then you have another level, like someone like Peachy Sam, or I guess he's called Peachy Boy now. And he's a very stunning, blonde, gorgeous. He originally specialized in videos that pretty much get boring fast. It's when two straight gay baiting OnlyFans guys get together for a collab, but really what they do is stand next to each other naked and maybe say like, oh yeah, looking good, bud. Oh, so hot. But all they really do is rub themselves, maybe touch each other's shoulder. And, you know, you're not going to get them having sex with each other. But what happens to some of these guys is that, you know, after they've been in business for years, you can only tease the gays so much before they start to demand more. So Peachy Sam, or Peachy Boy in particular, has been slowly pushing the limits. I mean, first he was, you know, maybe touching another guy's dick. Then he was slapping his dick on someone's ass. And then he was maybe jerking someone else off. And then months later, he was getting fucked by a strap-on. I mean, apparently these are these things where it's like, I'm not going to do everything except suck a dick and get fucked. Now, recently, he did make the rounds to other OnlyFans performers like Austin Wolf and other people like that, where he was getting his ass eaten. And then recently, I saw that he made a video where he kissed someone. Can him making love to a man be far behind? Well, honey, I'm sure he will play it out as slow as it can to continue to get your money. Now, he's one of those ones that started off giving you everything in the feed, but now has moved to a model where he'll just give you clips and sexy pictures on his main OnlyFans feed. And then what he's really doing is selling anything sexual or going further in the DMs, which apparently is what OnlyFans tells the creators to do to make the most money. There is a whole scammier level of sort of the Wyatt Cushman, Patrick LeBlanc type OnlyFans guys, where they have great bodies and are sexy and seemingly have big dicks, but then try to pretend that they're having sex with other guys and shoot fake penetration scenes and sell those in the DM. And they're like 30 second clips and they cost $50. That's where you're going to want to get into LPSG to get your investigation on, to see whether you're getting scammed or whether you should just enjoy their VPL in the TikToks, which are for free. Now, there, of course, are hardworking gay OnlyFans who are fucking and sucking for your pleasure full time in their main feed on OnlyFans. And those are the ones that you want to support. And they know that the queens are going to be pissed if they're trying to withhold everything in the DMs. So they're out there fucking and sucking and collaborating for you. And we applaud them for that. Now, a new and interesting breed of OnlyFans performers are people who came up being cutie pies on TikTok, making cute videos about cute guys and fun stuff and their opinions on stuff, who then are sort of thirsted after by people in the comments who suggest to them that they should do an OnlyFans. And then they open one, realize how much money they can make, and then go into it hardcore while still remaining just a talking head cutie pie on TikTok. One that I did subscribe to that was very good was someone I discovered on TikTok called Tate Hoskins. You know, you might know him because he's a real cutie. He wears a cowboy hat. He makes funny and sweet and interesting TikToks. Now, he has 1.6 million followers on TikTok. And once you get to that big level on TikTok and you're good looking, if you are willing to dive into the OnlyFans pool, you're bound to make a lot of money. Now, you can choose to be a scammer type, or you can do what Tate Hoskins does and give it to you good, honey. Tate Hoskins is there fucking all sorts of people on his OnlyFans. He's very cute. He's fucking a wide variety. He's really making sure that all of his fans know that he likes many different types of people. He's fucking twinks. He's getting fucked by Seattle dad. He's fucking a trans man. He's fucking all sorts of people and doing it with a great attitude, a lot of sex appeal, and panache. Well played, sir. We enjoy your content. Keep it up. Another tip for OnlyFans is that, look, part of the OnlyFans model is that you'll subscribe, forget to look at it, and forget about it, and get charged a million times. Well, for me, I need you to earn my resubscription, okay? Because many times you'll join somebody's OnlyFans, find out they're a scammer, you've wasted the $10. But what you got to do, no matter what, is when you subscribe, as soon as you get the access, you have to unsubscribe so that you don't get recharged if you're not paying attention. And then it's up to the OnlyFanser to get us to resubscribe by working it in the content. But either way, just enjoy it. Don't be mad. Don't be mad about people gay baiting you. We've wanted straight guys to show us their dicks for years, and now they are. They just want a little cash in return, and you know, you don't have to pay it. They're showing a lot on Instagram. My feed has never been more full of people just flopping their dicks around in sweatpants than current day Instagram. And you know what? I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. I'll take it. I will enjoy it. I'm not above it, and don't try to shame me. Okay? Thank you.
Gay as fuck.
Please leave me a nice review and rate me on iTunes so more people can discover the show. And if you like me and you want to hear more from me, well, you can find me podcasting 3 times a week with all of my old gay pimpin', gayest of all times homies on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/gayest of all time, where you can get up to 3 shows a week, as well as immediately getting access to over 300 podcasts. Most of them are evergreen. We're talking about gay stuff, sex stuff, pop culture, food, ASMR, videos, all of it. And you'll find there things like this, where someone during an AMA asked me which Britney I thought would win in a battle, Knife Britney or Umbrella Britney. Morgan says, who would win the fight between Knife Britney Spears and Umbrella Britney Spears? Hey, get out here. Get out here, Umbrella Britney. Oh, well, well, well. If it isn't Knife Britney, Miss Lady Come Lately. I've been iconic for years. You're just a meme. You're a meme. How dare you? How dare you? Oh, ching ching. Hit the music, fellas. We know that Umbrella Britney would just, because of the rage, I mean, we learned in the book that, you know, the umbrella incident happened because that paparazzi was like whispering nasty stuff to her, like, haha, you can't see your kids again, huh? Looks like you're never going to see your kids. Must be so sad. That's why she got all raged out. Hit the window with the umbrella, and who can blame her? Though she needed a lot of rage to, if the knives aren't fake. I mean, Britney does have some swings and some moves, so, you know, it would be quite a fight. But I think the rage would pull through Umbrella Britney. Over 300 podcasts to binge and enjoy for the gayest podcasts around. It has been a big year for one of my favorite legends, one of my favorite icons, the legendary club diva, drag queen, singer, performer, performance artist, Kevin Aviance. Yes, honey. The voice of Cunty, who was sampled by Beyonce in Pure Honey. It blew up his fame to the level in which it should have always been. He's traveling the world as a DJ. He's living, he's turning, he's working, he's serving, and I am living for it. He was recently honored by the Out 100, and it couldn't have happened to a nicer person. Thank you, Beyonce, for recognizing this incredible artist. And thank you, Kevin, for giving us so much pleasure and joy for so many years. Kevin has a new song out, and it is fire. And here it is. We'll go out on Kevin Aviance's new song, Body. Bye, honey. See you next week, where we'll talk about brothers who both join OnlyFans and the crazy, wild, disturbing allegations Cassie made against Diddy, and then the next day fully settled the lawsuit. What was going on there? We will do a deep dive, among other more wonderful faggoty gay shit, on the next episode of Gay as Fuck. Bye, honey. Bye.
Cause Johnny McGovern is gay as fuck.
It was murder in there.